That was a 49-second clip. You know what? I could have taken that clip and made the entire series in that 49 seconds. Smaug thinks very highly of himself. He brags that he killed the king and took his throne. He called himself a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's going to have to be an awful big sheep, right? That's an awful big dragon. He said that he ate the people of the king. He takes pleasure in killing. Smaug, what does he say? His armor is like iron. His teeth are giant blades. He sees himself as invincible. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. You still think dragons are cute and cuddly? I mean, Littlefoot is adorable. Just cute as can be. But what we usually call a dragon? I don't know. Instead of being cute and cuddly, I think sometimes there's something that we're supposed to be slave. Our kids are with us this week, and well, maybe they're looking at us and saying, okay, I've walked in the middle of something. I have no idea what you're doing, so let me get you caught up real quick on where the adults have been for the past few weeks. And we are talking about dealing with sin. And well, sin is something that we all have in our life. It impacts every single one of our relationships, either the ones here on the planet or our one with God. However, to help the adults understand sin, I've kind of given them an object lesson. So we've been comparing sin to a dragon. We've been taking this metaphor and taking a look at it and say our sin is kind of like a dragon. And again, we don't want to just train ourselves to live with our sin. Patty's going to leave here today, and she's going to take Littlefoot back home, and she's going to put him in his little glass terrarium. See, aren't you impressed? I actually know where these things live. She's going to put him back in his glass terrarium. And she's going to put the little heat lamp over him to keep him nice and warm. And maybe she's going to catch a few crickets in a toilet paper tube and lay it down in there and let the crickets hop out. And that's Littlefoot's home. You know what the weird thing is? I think a lot of us have that same environment set up for our sin. We come here and, you know, we do the whole church thing, and then we go home and we take our sin home with us, and we have this special place that we put it in this special environment, and we know just what to feed it to keep it nice and healthy and strong. And it grows. And it lives with us. And slaying our dragon, it ain't so easy. So our kids are with us, and I've got a really cool object lesson that is going to go with our sermon today, so you guys will really understand where we're going, because who can tell me, under the age of 15, what is tomorrow night? Oh, come on, y'all can talk louder than that. I've been at Puppets with most of you guys. Your voices are bigger than that. What is tomorrow night?
Halloween.
Just so you know, I am not really a Halloween celebrator. It's a personal thing. It's a thing with me. My kids are planning on going and on doing something tomorrow. They've gotten old enough. I let them make their own decisions about it. But I personally am not a Halloween celebrator, but I do know how this works. As kids, this is what you're going to do tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, you're going to get home from school, and you're going to rush through your homework as possible, as fast as you possibly can. You're going to stand at the door wondering when it's going to get dark enough. Right? It's the nominated nod in your head. You're like, this is how it works. Then you're going to put on a costume, a disguise, and you're going to go out and you're going to go door to door and you're going to knock on doors. And when the door is open, what is the line you're supposed to say? Trick or treat? What are you really hoping for? A trick or a treat? I mean, if you open that door and the person at the door says, I choose treat and trick and took a water hose and just sprayed you, this wouldn't be very fun, would it? The person at the door might have fun, but that's not what you're expecting. And let's face it, you don't want erasers, and you don't want fruit, and you don't want cards, and you don't, what are you going for? Candy. That's what this is all about. See, your hope is by the time you come home, you have this huge, enormous bag full of candy. Because that is the object behind trick-or-treat. So now I need you to use your imaginations for a moment, okay? Kids are better at this than the adults. So suppose tomorrow night you're out and you're going door to door and there is this huge house out there, and at the house there is a door and all the porch lights are on and there's actually a come and get your treat sign, and man, you know, this is going to be good. This is a big house. They got to have a lot of candy. And you knock on the door, and there behind the door when it opens is a real live dragon. If you do what is right, you will be accepted. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. So, kids, if this happens and that door opens and there behind it, I'm not talking Littlefoot dragon here. I'm not talking Patty holding the cute. I'm talking Smaug-style dragon. That's what answers the door. What are you going to do? Faint. Most of you probably, you're going to pass out right there. But if you manage to not faint, what's going to be your second inclination?
Run.
Get out of there. Flee evil desires of the youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call God, who call on the Lord God out of a pure heart. It's not a bad thing. If you saw that kind of a beast answer the door, you're not going to sit there and say, I'm going to fight it. I can take it. I can go with that, right? You know what you're not going to do? You had question and answer with Patty and her dragon. You're not going to say, so what do you eat? Let me show you what I eat. How long do you live? Well, longer than you're going to live, okay? You're not going to sit here and have a question and answer session with this dragon. And I hate to tell you this, as cool as you think you are, you're not going to say, will you stand still and smile so I can take a selfie with you? My friends are never going to believe there's a real live dragon here. You're going to run. Why are you going to run? Because it's obvious this thing is dangerous, right? And you know what? If sin worked that way, if all sin was this big, hulking monster full of teeth and full of scales and just evil looking and powerful looking and scary looking, if all sin looked like that, we wouldn't have a problem. Most of us are pretty smart. You know, most of the people in this building don't jump off of moving buses. Why? Because it's not smart. Most of the people don't do things that will get themselves hurt. The problem is it doesn't work that way. What's your line for tomorrow night? Come on, door opens, you're supposed to say? Trick or treat. And unfortunately, when it comes to our dragon, he's a bit more tricky than to obviously show up at a door waiting for you. I'm in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, if the adults or the kids wish to follow along. This is where we're going to be. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So this morning, our lesson is going to come from this guy named Moses. And I know the kids have been downstairs, and I've looked at your timeline, and I know somewhere along it in the past year, y'all have talked about Moses. And in case you forgot, or in case the adults forgot, Moses, well, he's the guy that led the Israelites out of Egypt. Okay? And he's the guy that parted the Red Sea. He raised up his staff, and the water parted, and he did a bunch of other cool miracles and things like that. This is Moses. He started out his life adopted by the Egyptian king's daughter. We call him a pharaoh. So he was an adopted kid. And therefore, he really wasn't Egyptian. Moses was an Israelite. And at that time, the Israelites were, well, they were slaves. So while Moses was sitting at home and enjoying all the good food and enjoying all the fun and enjoying all the education and getting everything that he ever wanted for Christmas, while Moses was doing that, Moses got to look out the window and see the people that were really his family having to make bricks, getting beat, getting whipped. So Moses has to make an interesting choice. Do I go and live for God like my family, or do I go and live for fun? That's a hard choice, isn't it? I mean, if I had a choice between hard work or awesome fun, I'm going to go choose the awesome fun. I'm not interested in the hard work if I've got a better alternative. Now, I had a dad that didn't believe that you had no fun until the work was done. Okay, that's the way I was raised, and so the fun was the reward for getting the work done. But Moses here, he has a choice. He called it the fleeting pleasures of sin, of living the way that he's supposed to live. And so Moses now has to make a choice. And I think it's the same choice that every kid, and actually every adult that's in the sound of my voice, you have to make this choice on a regular basis. Do you choose what's fun, or do you choose what God wants you to do? That's not an easy choice, is it? Especially when all your friends are out there and they're hanging out and they're having all the fun and you want to have fun too. And so you know what? We make fun a priority. And again, here's the problem. Because wrapped up in that fun, sometimes there's some real danger from this thing that we call sin. So some sin, it has an immediate impact. Right away, something happens. So again, need you to use your imagination. Okay, you got it all plugged in again. So tomorrow night, you're out and you're going door to door and you're trick-or-treating. And every door you knocked on, they didn't just give you one piece of candy. They just took a bowl and dumped it down in your bag. And every door that you went through, they just kept dumping candy in your bag and dumping candy in your bag and dumping candy in your bag. And you get home, and man, you have like the biggest monstrous bag of Halloween candy you've ever collected. And you're thinking, this is awesome. This is a really good haul. I had a good night. You know, my bag is all full. And then those pesky parents come in. They ruin all your fun. And they tell you not to eat too much. Matter of fact, they tell you, you can have like maybe one or two pieces and then you go to bed. But you know what? You sneak the bag up to your room and you eat one piece. Man, that piece tasted so good. So you have a second piece and then a third piece and then a fourth piece. And before you know it, that great big monster bag of candy that you collected, you ate the whole thing in one night. What's the problem? Yeah, you're going to be sick. Your body's not designed to handle it. Okay, you're going to be sick, and if you don't get sick, you're going to be so hyper, your parents are going to duct tape you to the floor. Okay, because you've got all the sugar in you, but you're going to get sick if you eat that much candy. So what I should take out of this conclusion is, since if I eat too much of it, and I have all the fun, that means candy's an issue, right? Or was the candy the issue? No. The issue wasn't the candy. There was nothing necessarily evil or bad or wrong with the candy. The problem is that you did something that your parents told you not to do. You ever wonder how your parents know you shouldn't eat too much candy? It's called experience, because probably at some time in their life, they had a big bag of candy, and their parents told them not to eat too much, and they took their bag of candy, and they snuck off into a room, and they ate all of it, and then they got sick. And so they're telling you from an experience. So church people like big fancy words. So what I'm talking about right now, we call this a sin of commission. So that means you committed a sin only because you did something you were told not to do. Y'all have never done that before, right? If your parents tell you not to do something, you've never gone and done this, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, when we do this, the candy tasted so good going down. When it comes the other way, it don't taste so good, does it? When your stomach is all hurting and you've got too much candy in you and you can't even sit still because you're bouncing from all the sugar but you still don't feel good, all of a sudden, that candy that looks so good in that bag that you sit there and looked at and you just ate and ate and ate, you're probably thinking, you're never going to say this, but I know what you're thinking. I should have listened to my parents and just ate one or two pieces and stopped. But you get, that's the way sin works with us sometimes. Sometimes we look at the bag of candy and we look at all the treats out there and we don't think about the trick. The trick is, if I eat too much of it, I'm going to get sick. If I participate in sin, there could be some very immediate impacts to my life. Of course, it doesn't all work that way. Sometimes sin causes us some future pain. So again, got your imaginations plugged in? So tomorrow night, you're out trick-or-treating, and you're going door to door, and you've got your bag, and you know what you've learned from your other experience, so you brought a bigger bag, and you're going door to door, and every time they open the door, they're now dumping in barrels of candy into your bag, man. They're just giving you more candy than you could have ever dreamed about, and you just take it, and you go, and they fill it up. First thing, you're coming home like this, and you're dragging this monster bag of candy home. You're happy, aren't you? Man, you got all of this candy. And then you come in and your parents tell you, well, don't eat too much. How about have a couple pieces? And you're smart. You're like, okay. So you eat your one or two pieces and you take the rest of your candy and you set it aside. And you're like, okay, I'm not going to get a tummy ache. I'll eat the rest of it. This will last me at least until Christmas when my stocking gets filled. And I can just fill it back up. And you're thinking this way. However, then your parents say the dreaded word that every kid I've ever met seems to hate these words. Brush your teeth. And you know what? You had a long night. And dragging that bag of candy made you awful tired. And so you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go to bed. They'll never really know if I brushed my teeth or not. So you just go to bed and you don't worry about it. And you get up in the morning and you get morning breath. But you know how to take care of the morning breath, right? Just grab another couple pieces of candy and stick them in your mouth, and that'll take care of the morning breath, right? But you decide, you know what, I'm a little late for school, so I'm not going to brush my teeth again. And then I come back in, and I just keep eating the candy, and I keep ignoring the brush your teeth, and eventually, what am I going to have? What happens? You're going to have a cavity. Because it's a chemical reaction to the sugar breaks down the enamel in your teeth and it gets between there. And then these bacteria like to eat on the sugar and sooner or later they eat little holes in your teeth and that's called a cavity. Okay? And it's all caused by the candy, right? The candy's bad, right? Candy's evil. If you hadn't eaten the candy, is it the candy's problem? No. The candy's not the issue. It's not about the treat, it's about the trick. The trick is that you thought you knew better again than your parents, and your parents gave you something to do, and you decided you didn't need to do it. And by the way, there's a big fancy church word for that too. We call this a sin of omission. Which just means I omitted to do something. I didn't do something that I was told to do. And so now, it may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. Maybe you got really good genetics, you got really strong teeth. It is going to be until you're like in your 50s and 60s, and you're sitting there in the dentist's office, and somebody's got a pair of pliers, and they're pulling those bad teeth out of your mouth. And then you're thinking, brushing my teeth would have been a whole lot easier. Taking the advice of my parents would have been a whole lot simpler, because now I'm suffering the consequences of my actions. You understand that's how sin works? Sometimes when you participate in sin and you just think, you know what? Nothing really happened. I got away with it. And you know what? That's not the way it works. It may not be now. It may be years down the road. You may have a moment in your life where you're struggling with sin and the consequences. All because when you were young, you were given instructions from God's word. You were given instructions by people that love you, your parents, Sunday school teachers, ministers, and they just want you to follow God's word, but you decided, I'd rather go chase fun. You seeing the damage here? Now, there is a third kind of thing that you need to understand. Sometimes sin has hidden danger to it. See, unfortunately, in our world, there are some weird and bad people. And well, when I was young, I don't know if this happened before I was young, but I can remember this. People would do bad things to Halloween candy. They would do Halloween treats. They'd do crazy things like put razor blades inside of apples. And they would take syringes and stick things inside of the candy because they thought it was fun. They were playing a trick. But the trick wasn't so harmless because it actually did do damage to people, because there are hidden dangers in the things that we do. And well, your parents are more concerned about your long-term safety than your short-term pleasure. So let me tell you how, when I was a kid, how this worked at our house. So when you went to go out and you were going out to do your collection, the first rule you got is you weren't allowed to eat anything until you got home. Don't you hate that rule? Man, I got all this stuff and I'm walking along and I'm hungry. What's wrong if I dip in and just start sampling as I'm going along the road here? Parents said, don't eat anything, you get home. Then when you got home, my mom would take all the bags and she would dump them out in the middle of the floor and she would start inspecting. And you know what? If it wasn't in a factory sealed wrapper, out it went. She began to look at the wrappers and see if anybody pulled it open and did something, then glued it back together. And if the wrapper had been tampered with, out it went. If she looked at it and she saw that the expiration date on the candy, if it was there, out it went. See, that was the slogan. When in doubt, throw it out. And that's what that she was taught. And as a kid, you've now walked miles and knocked on doors and done all this work to collect this bag of candy, and here is your paranoid parent throwing your hard-earned treat away. Wouldn't that make you a little upset? I mean, you don't know that it's bad. How about we sample it and see if it's bad, and if it's not bad, then we'll just keep going, right? You don't know that. Why? Because it's a hidden danger. And you know what? Sin works this way too. Sometimes you don't see the danger that your parents see in something. We have a fancy church word for this too. We call this discernment. It's the ability not to just react to the treat, not just to go out and have fun, but to sit back and look at it and ask yourself, what are the dangers in participating in this? And you probably think, well, why is all this so important? It's just sin. It's just things that we do. Remember this, adults, week one, this is one of your five facts. Kids, unlike your trout Halloween candy, all sin is deadly. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a familiar verse. And honestly, sometimes, again, I think I get away with it. Sometimes we think we covered our tracks really good when it comes to our sin in our life. But here's what God wants you to know. You can't hide it. God sees it all. God knows exactly what you've done. Every single one of them. Everything you've ever done. God knows all about it. He knows the deepest, darkest, even the things that you do. And you go into your room and you shut your door and you cut off the lights and you act and you do it really quiet and nobody sees you. Guess what? God did. And God says that that sin has a consequence to it, and ultimately, that sin is death. See, the reality is no sin goes unnoticed by God. I'd like to think I got away with one or two on God, right? But he knows everything, he sees everything, and ultimately, he's going to ask the question, why? And it says that ultimately, my sin... Maybe in this lifetime I didn't get a cavity. And maybe in this lifetime I didn't get sick. And maybe in this lifetime nothing bad happened and I avoided all of the dangers that maybe were hidden in what I was doing. But there's going to come a day. God's going to ask me, why? And if that day, I'm not going to be able to sit there and say, well, God, you didn't really ever explain it to me. You didn't talk about it this way. I only have one answer that is really going to work. And this is the answer of hope. It's the back part of that verse. You see, the candy we receive for tomorrow night. Anybody thinking they're going to go out and pay? Wouldn't that be a bummer? You go and you do all this hard work and you're going trick-or-treating and you knock on the door and the lady comes out with the candy and they said, okay, it's a dollar a piece. That'd be no fun at all in that, right? Because you're not looking to buy candy. You're looking what? Somebody to give you candy. You want to get it and you don't want to have to pay for it. And God says, you know what? Your sin, it deserves death, but I have a gift for you. And my treat is sweeter than any other one that you are ever going to get at the door tomorrow night. His name is Jesus. He came and he saw how hard we were dealing with our sin. Well, this was his plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's what this is about. Understand, I have sin in my life. I can't slay it by myself. I can't kill my sin. But Jesus says, I can cover it and I can take it away. But you have to let me. You have to choose me. So tomorrow night, it's easy to just want to have fun. And while again, I am personally not a Halloween celebrator, I understand it can be a lot of fun. But as you're going from door to door, here's some things I want you to remember and take with you. When it comes to life choices, we all need to do what God tells us to do. Okay? When it comes to life choices, we need to not do what God says do not do. That's pretty easy. We need to take time sometimes to look at the things to be sure there are no hidden dangers. But the most important thing that I want you to remember and take from this lesson is you're going from door to door tomorrow night and you're participating however you're going to participate. At some point, we need to open our lives to receive the greatest gift that God ever gave us. His name is Jesus. And if you're here today and you need to understand what it means to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, come and knock on my door. Because have I got a treat for you, and there's no trick attached. I would more than willing be willing to sit here and tell you what it means to become a Christian, what it means to be a follower of Christ. But again, you have to knock on the door, and you have to make the choice.